Good Thursday and welcome to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Glad to have you along here today. We'll bring you feature agricultural news reports along with a look at regional and national agricultural news. And we'll start with regional agricultural news headlines right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced public listening sessions and is soliciting public comments on possible changes to prevented planting crop insurance coverage. USDA's Risk Management Agency will hold in-person and virtual listening sessions from June through August, and written comments will be accepted until September 1st. Prevented planting coverage provides producers valuable protection in the event they are unable to plant an insured crop due to an insured cause of loss. When adverse weather prevents planting, a prevented planting payment is made to compensate for the producer's pre-planting costs generally incurred in preparation for planting the crop. USDA is looking for input on topics such as the harvest price option, feedback on whether to allow the prevented planting payment calculations to be based on a higher projected price or harvest price under the Revenue Protection Plan of Insurance, the 1-in-4 rule, input on the challenges or experiences since the rule. To be eligible for prevented planting coverage, acreage must have been planted to a crop insured and harvested at least one out of the previous four crop years was implemented nationwide. The 10% additional coverage option, input on if RMA should reinstate the option to buy up prevented planting coverage by 10%. The contract price, whether prevented planting costs are higher for contracted crops and how prevented planting payments should be calculated for contract crops. And in general, the willingness to pay additional premium for expanded prevented planting benefits, recommendations on other prevented planting limitations, and etc. The first meeting will be held on June 27th from 10 a.m. to noon at the Mattock County Extension Office Agricultural Conference Room in Tool Lake. The second in-person meeting is June 28th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the USDA California State Office. The national virtual session will take place on June 8th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Microsoft Teams. For more information, contact the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Based in Reedley, California, Fruit World, a fresh produce company, has embraced a delayed start of stone fruit season, now shipping the ripest early cherry varieties, which are Hazel and Royal Lynn, with Coral variety to follow soon. Fruit World has embraced a delayed start to the California stone fruit season to ensure ideal ripening and fruit quality. Spring pollination was staggered this year, which has led to mixed maturity in the orchard, according to Cindy Richer, director of sales at Fruit World. She says they're having to harvest each block of cherry several times, select fruit at peak color, size, and quality, which also increases production cost. Delivering some of the earliest organic cherries on the market, Fruit World is creating plenty of opportunities to brighten a retail produce department this spring. The retail partners are hoping to drive sales by offering organic stone fruit to their shoppers this summer. In addition to their organic cherries, Fruit World is also offering organic apricots, nectarines, and peaches this summer. As they celebrate their sixth anniversary, Fruit World is honoring its commitment to keeping family farms thriving by offering unparalleled organic in-season fruit to more retailers than ever before, according to the company. Supplies of onions from California are slimmer as the transition between growing regions gets underway this month. Jerry Volois of Western Onions says typically production begins in the Imperial Valley around April 20th and harvest lasts until the end of May, possibly a week into June. What was unusual there was the weather had been cooler, and that delays the harvesting and affects the size profile, he says. Everything was delayed by a couple of days to a few weeks. If there was a two-week delay in starting, they may catch up and take an extra 4 to 5 days to finish. The next region that moves into harvest will be the San Joaquin Valley, and production starts in Bakersfield and moves up the valley from there. San Joaquin got ample rains this year, which affected planting schedules. As for demand for onions, the lowest notes, it's fairly static. However, overall onion consumption has been growing over the years because of the demographics. As for pricing, it reflects the supplies, meaning when they are tight, prices rise. Looking ahead, the transition from the Imperial Valley to the San Joaquin Valley will take place throughout the next 2 to 4 weeks. There are still many people packing and shipping in Imperial, and that will probably go on for the next 1 to 2 weeks. Some people are starting in San Joaquin in the next few weeks, but he is guessing by the end of June, San Joaquin will be the go-to place for the product. The California Department of Food and Agriculture's Integrated Pest Control Branch is announcing two vacancies on the California Cotton Pest Control Board. The board shall be the advisory to the Secretary on matters which pertain to the control of cotton pests and carry out its authority as specified by law. It also authorizes the appointment of a 10-member board that shall consist of at least one cotton grower from each of the cotton growing counties in the state and one member who is not a cotton grower and represents a public. There is no set term limit for members that serve on a California Cotton Pest Control Board. The members receive no compensation, but are entitled to payment of travel expenses incurred and necessary to attend board meetings in accordance with the rules of the Department of Personnel Administration. Members are considered public officials and must be willing to comply with necessary disclosure requirements. One vacancy is for a cotton grower representative from a major cotton grower county. The second vacancy is for a public member representative that is not a cotton grower. Individuals interested in being considered for a board appointment should send a brief letter of interest and a completed prospective member appointment questionnaire with resume to the California Department of Food and Agriculture. West Coast ports are shutting down as union workers no-show after a breakdown in negotiations with port management. The Port of Oakland was shut down on Friday morning due to insufficient labor for terminal operations. The majority of imports and exports are processed through those terminals. Port shutdowns are expected to spread across the West Coast as a result of lack of sufficient labor as workers protest over wage negotiations in contract talks with port management. The ports and unions have been involved in contract negotiations over the past year, adding tension to port operations. According to the National Agricultural Statistics Service's latest California Crop Progress and Condition Report, average low temperatures for California ranged from 31 to 59 degrees in the mountains last week, 42 to 62 along the coast, 45 to 71 in the desert, and 51 to 68 in the Central Valley. Average high temperatures for the state range from 47 to 89 in the mountains, 57 to 95 along the coast, 71 to 103 in the desert, and 74 to 100 in the Central Valley. From the California Department of Water Resources, snowpack water content in the Northern Sierra was at 14.40 inches compared to 0.80 inches this date last year. Central Sierra was 19.50 inches compared to 0 inches this date last year. Southern Sierra was 17.70 inches compared to 0 inches this date last year. On the fruit crops, grape buds continued to open and leaf out, and some bloom clusters were present. Grape vineyards were sprayed for weeds, and vineyards were thinned last week. Stone fruits, including peaches, plums, and nectarines, continued to develop. Apricots, cherries, and early peach varieties were harvested. Valencia orange harvest continued, while the navel orange harvest was wrapping up. Lemons, grapefruit, and mandarins continued to be picked and packed. Seedless varieties of mandarins and tangerines remain netted to prevent pollination. Kiwi vineyards were leafing out, being tied and irrigated. Apiaries remained in some kiwi vineyards for pollination. Dates continued to ripen. Olives were treated for nematodes. Blueberries and strawberries continued to be picked. Navel orange worm presence was noted in many orchards. Orchards began preparing for ants by placing bait traps. Pistachios, walnuts, and pecans continued to mature. More walnut orchards were removed, and some pistachio growers started small plant bug treatments to protect nutlets from damage. Almond meat was complete in many areas. Asparagus harvest was nearing completion and cherry tomatoes progressed in the Sacramento Valley. In Tulare County, sweet corn, eggplant, okra, onions, broccoli, cabbage, peppers, and garlic continue to grow. In Stanislaus County, onions were harvested. Watermelon, honeydew, and cantaloupe were planted and weeded, and bees were placed in fields for pollination. Transplanting of sweet potatoes and tomatoes continued, and greenhouse tomatoes were harvested. Bell peppers, carrots, and eggplant were harvested in the Imperial Valley. In the Salinas Valley, broccoli, cauliflower, and celery were harvested, and quality was noted to be above average.
Don't miss your opportunity to attend the only event of its kind taking place this summer. Join us on June 21st, 2023 in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event. The Crop Consultant Connect event will bring you and many of your independent crop consultant peers together. You'll also get access to virtual CE hours as an exclusive thank you for attending this event. Your registration includes breakfast, lunch, coffee, snacks, as well as a wealth of information you're able to glean from this experience. Please visit progressivecrop.com for more information. Join us on June 21st in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event.
A new venture designed to spur development of biological products that kill pests, diseases, and weeds that afflict specialty crops is taking a novel approach to further research. The Global Biological Accelerator, which will see its formal introduction in connection with the Salinas Biological Summit on June 20th and 21st in Salinas, California, will be based at the Western Growers Innovation and Technology Center. The center has provided support to dozens of ag tech startups since it opened in late 2015, and will do the same for the biological companies chosen to participate in the Global Biological Accelerator. Dennis Donahue, director of the Western Growers Center, explained why there is a need for the accelerated approach to product development in this sector.
We certainly understand that there's a regulatory trend, perhaps societal trend, towards less pesticides, et cetera. So with that in mind, and we had certainly observed that there was a pickup of biological type of products activity that folks wanted to come to the center and get connected with growers and that type of thing. But as we kind of listened to what was going on from a regulatory standpoint in California and in the country, and perhaps even more critically near term, countries like the Netherlands that and the EU that want to reduce pesticide usage by 50%. And so, and as we observe the whole roadmap to 2050 process in California, so on one hand, 2050 may sound like a long time, but when you really understand what's involved in product development and how long these things take, decades can pass pretty quickly. But I specifically mentioned the EU and the Netherlands by 2030 because, for instance, a Dutch company owns three major Northeast flags that we're already dealing with. So sometimes the marketplace can be ahead of regulation. So we know there are some trends that suggest, hey, we ought to be looking at this space more closely and if we can support our growers. And then the other thing, and I think this is important, there are disease issues, pest pressures, et cetera, there's still an opening for innovation and new materials. So I like to look at the biological space as, yes, there are certain societal and regulatory things going on, and we need to address that. And it would be better to be proactive and intentional there, but it's also an innovation opportunity. So with all of that in mind, we felt this was an area that, much like the harvest automation piece, hey, we should get a little more strategic and intentional on behalf of our members, so we're not racing to catch up with whatever regulatory or customer direction may go. What we want to accomplish with the biological accelerator is marry problems with best possible solutions as we can identify.
Making the Global Biological Accelerator available to companies around the world through online tools is a key part of the program and will speed research and development. Since more growing regions than just those in California will be tested, the more results year-round will be seen. This bodes well at a convenient time where California is laying out its roadmap to move away from chemical pesticides over the next few decades. The accelerator ensures industry can keep up with these domestic regulatory changes, as well as even more pressing international regulatory changes.
You know, where accelerators or acceleration comes into play is, for instance, we just talked about the roadmap to 2050, but the reality is the EU is on a different program. And now, having been a vegetable grower shipper, I just view Europe as a spot market. But, if you're part of the nut crowd, Europe's a market, you know, so you better know what's going on in the EU. So our members don't have the luxury of thinking just about California, you know, because you might, like I say, you might go, oh, good, 2050. But if the EU is 2030, that will come fast. And then if major customers decide to move even more quickly, you know, you've got to be responsive to that. So we just think it's a smart idea as an innovation center and from a Western grower standpoint for on behalf of our members. Hey, let's really see if we can get a handle on some of the products that if we can help them go to the next level. And part of the next level is, you know, and the strategy is really going to be based on, in many respects, I mean, you've got all the proof of concept issues and, you know, and it's certainly not a cheap date, you know, if trials, you know, because we believe they have to be embedded in a real world setting primarily because, you know, it's one thing to work in a test plot and those things are good. And we understand that we support that as part of the process. But, you know, at the end of the day, the growers need to see it for their own eyes. You know, that this worked in a real-time situation because in a real-time situation, you're figuring out how much to apply really and that type of thing. And then the other reason, you know, from an investment standpoint or a product standpoint, the companies that have introduced products in multiple markets, you know, we think have the, you know, we agree with the assessment, the best chance for growth, scaling, volume, better economics, that type of thing. So, you know, even though on Western growers is California, Arizona, Colorado, and then, as we like to say, our friends in New Mexico and the Chili Pepper Association, the reality is we're operating in multiple countries and we've got to be cognizant of what the whole world's thinking. But the opportunity for that is we think that can help with some of the economic objectives we need to accomplish, you know, because it's one thing for it to work, but then, okay, what's it cost and that type of thing. So, you know, I think anytime you try and push the envelope on innovation and there's a consensus and a consortium and a group of people working together, you know, some good's going to come out of it.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Tallstrom. Introducing My Ag Life Jobs, the pathway to career opportunities in California agriculture. Whether you're currently in pursuit of employment or searching for talent as an employer, our network serves as the resource to connections in the agricultural industry. Plant roots in your career and embark today by exploring jobs.myaglife.com. That's jobs.myaglife.com.
The National Milk Producers Federation is applauding USDA for proposing its action plan for a national hearing based on National Milk Producers Federation's proposal to modernize federal milk marketing orders. The Federation looks forward to the next phase of creating a federal order system that better reflects today's market conditions and dairy producer needs. They're grateful USDA recognizes the comprehensive nature of the proposal and are looking forward to it being considered in full because the whole of the plan adds up to more than the sum of its parts, according to National Milk President and CEO Jim Mulhern. They held more than 150 meetings and wide consultation across dairy producers and the entire industry in coming up with the plan. The agency says the action plan may include a tentative hearing start date of August 23rd of 2023. The USDA received the Federation's formal proposal to amend the pricing provisions of all 11 FMMOs on May 2nd. And a bipartisan group of congressional members is asking the U.S. Trade Representative to prioritize ethanol export competitiveness and address unfair import tariffs that Brazil has in place on U.S. ethanol. The letter was signed by 21 members and highlighted the importance of biofuel and ethanol production for rural communities throughout the country. The Biden Environmental Protection Agency is still considering including e-RINs in its final renewable volume rule that the agency is required by court to issue by the middle of the month. But two senators are leading the charge to stop that from happening. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley and Senator John Corin of Texas are sponsoring a bill to head off the EPA plan to cover e-RINs from biogas projects like anaerobic digesters that make renewable electricity for electric vehicles.
Current e-RINs proposal is another way to prop up the EV industry while lowering the value of RINs for ethanol and biodiesel. And you know that what that does to the biofuels industry.
Something Grassley says the renewable fuel standard never intended.
It's clear that the IRFS was written to support homegrown biofuels, not Chinese-produced batteries.
Grassley says that he and Senator Corinne introduced a bill to preserve the renewable fuel standard and prevent another handout to the EV manufacturers. He says that they have heard rumors that the administration is waking up and finally might be pulling the eRINs proposal because of his and Corinne's bill. But Grassley says the EPA may still include eRINs in future renewable volume rules. USA's Rural Housing Service offers various programs to offer affordable housing options to rural residents. USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
June is recognized as National Homeowners Month. Yet, as USDA Rural Development Rural Housing Administrator Joaquin Altoro points out,
a lot of people don't know that under USDA that we have a very important and critical area that deals with housing.
He notes the variety of programs under the RD umbrella to assist with rural housing availability and needs.
Single-family housing, the ability for one to either rehabilitate and or own or preserve their homeownership. And then there's the multifamily housing where we are actively engaged in affordable rental housing across rural America.
The administrator adds both rural and tribal communities and residents benefit not just via physical buildings and financing.
We also work with folks that are our borrowers in helping them reduce and pause their mortgage payments to work with their budget.
More details about USDA rural housing programs are available through state rural development offices or online at www.rd.usda.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The resilience of global food security is a critical concern. Facing limited access to land and potential disruption of food markets, alternative, scalable, and efficient production systems are needed as complementary buffer for the maintenance of food production integrity. The purpose of a recent study was to introduce an alternative hydroponic potato growing system where potatoes are grown in bare wood fiber as a growing medium. A system utilizing drip irrigation and plastic bags as containers was tested for three different types of wood fiber, two cultivators, and two fertigation strategies. Implementation of the system resulted in about a 300% higher tuber production when compared to the local conventional farming methods. The mineral composition of the tubers obtained from the hydroponic system was similar to the composition of tubers grown in a field and revealed the potential of biofortification. In addition, a fertigation strategy where the two application points were separated across the root zone resulted in tubers with dry matter content comparable to the potatoes grown in soil. The recyclability, reusability, and simplicity of this solution may encourage its application for improving the security of food production in selected areas of the world, as well as its utilization in urban agriculture.
Don't miss your opportunity to attend the only event of its kind taking place this summer. Join us on June 21st, 2023 in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event. The Crop Consultant Connect event will bring you and many of your independent crop consultant peers together. You'll also get access to virtual CE hours as an exclusive thank you for attending this event. Your registration includes breakfast, lunch, coffee, snacks, as well as a wealth of information you're able to glean from this experience. Please visit progressivecrop.com for more information. Join us on June 21st in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.